It's time for JT the Brick.
So we move on to the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference Finals.
It's on to Milwaukee.
Giannis Antetokounmpo is ready to smash him.
Down to Giannis, 3 seconds, he drives, lays it in.
You would think that Milwaukee would be really rested and ready and they'd want to take care of business. And Kawhi Leonard's shot is a shot that we'll be talking about for the rest of our lives.
Is this the dagger?
With a wink and a nod to Giannis Antetokounmpo, but does Kawhi stay in Toronto? The only team I believe that can give the Warriors a fight and even take them to 6 games and will lose is Milwaukee. The only thing that I said before, I'll say it again, is that the Warriors have already won the NBA title.
JT the Brick.
Now the question becomes, can Portland get a game from the Warriors? It's tough. Portland, 19 years. Obviously, the Warriors, a heavy favorite to get back to the NBA Finals. Some people just think the Warriors are going to smash them. Toronto's not good enough. Portland's not good enough. But hey, I've been wrong in the past.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Thanks for joining us, JT. Out of the gate, great day today. Big golf day, big NBA day, and my reaction coming off the draft lottery last night, which was an epic disaster for me and my Knicks family. Welcome to the show. You know all about PTs. They sponsor us. They sponsor the monologue, the entire show. We lead every hour with the 50, now 60-plus locations in the Valley. You can go to Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick, the SG Bar. Now you can check out the fact that Golden Entertainment owns the Stratosphere. It's now the Strat Game Changer. We're inside Boulevard in Maine coming up here in a couple of weeks. We talk about PTs. The happy hour begins in less than an hour, 5 to 7 p.m. I'm really into the golf. I grew up 5 miles away from the golf course in Farmingdale, New York. I went to Farmingdale High School. That's where the PGA Championship is, right where I went to high school and right where I grew up. I love this golf course. We'll get into that. We have a couple of golf guests, including my buddy Brady Cannon, who's a tremendous golf handicapper. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. Dr. Mike Crivetti from Crivetti Ortho, scheduled appearance this week. He comes in. If you have any old injury, you want to get better, Doc Mike Crivetti is the best in town. He'll join us at 4:40. Steph McKenzie will come in from across the hall. We like talking, Steph, with the Raiders, everything that's happening throughout the town, and I'll weave in everything that's happening around the world. The sports from the Jets having an implosion in regards to making changes with their executives and everything that's happening overall with the Red Sox and their issues. We talk baseball as much as you'd like to talk baseball. The number is 876-1340. You should dial now. I'll get you on the radio. We don't give away hats and T-shirts. We want to hear from people who are passionate about sports. It's different. We're trying to do it different. We talk sports here for 2 hours, and we are a professional sports town. Let's go back to last night as I needed to sleep on it. Bobby, I don't take sleeping pills. I don't take drugs at night to help me sleep. And last night I did not sleep well because as a Knicks fan, I was pounding the table that they'd get Zion Williamson. And people always ask me, almost daily, how come I don't bet? Because I've never placed a bet. If I did, I'd lose. And I'd continue to lose, and then I'd go broke, and I'd get divorced, and I'd visit my kids, and I'd be in another state. It would be a disaster for me. I like everybody else who bets. Got them all on the show coming up today. Everybody do what you want to do. But when they say that you have a 6% chance of winning, the Pelicans had a 6% chance of winning, and the Knicks had a 14% chance of winning, right then, doesn't it jump out at you as some type of bizarre risk-reward with mostly just risk and disaster written all over it? You see, gamblers look for any edge they can get. They'll talk to someone in the toilet if they'll give them information that they think they can make some extra money. Some gamblers will pay guys who don't have a bankroll and don't make any money. They'll pay them money out of their check to give them advice on how to bet on a baseball game. Some of it's better than others. But when it comes into the draft lottery last night, everybody was pretty confident that the Knicks would probably win this thing. And looking back, I have the fish hook in my cheek. I bought it too, which is why I won't do that ever again. I'm done. I'm done with these lotteries suggesting you're going to win the lottery. You're not going to win the lottery. You're not. When I walk through these casinos and I watch people staring at Keno, just looking up, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're playing for. I don't know if they're going to win, but they're hoping that they're going to win. And last night, I was one of them. I was hoping that the Knicks would win a lottery with low odds against them, a 60% chance, not to get the top three, which would have been a disaster. Fortunately, they got a top three pick, But it was a losing proposition before you went in. So for those of you guys who listen and bet all the time, I love you. And that's why we bring the best of the best of the best on this show. But I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you bet things that you have a 6% chance. I don't know how you parlay four or five things on a miracle parlay and you get into it and then one game screws you. I don't know how you do it. I love watching you do it because when you win, you buy beer, you buy me chicken wings, you're happy, you have a lot of fun, you go to Cancun or Cabo. It's great when you win, but I could have used your luck last night and I didn't get it. Let's review the draft lottery when the Lakers, well, a lot of people thought the Lakers were going to pick between 9 and 11. They got this news.
The 11th pick in the draft will go to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Wow, that means the Los Angeles Lakers have moved up. Kyle Kuzma's lucky jacket worked.
Yeah, so Kyle Kuzma there is able to move up. The Lakers move up to the fourth pick. Do we have the fourth pick here, Bobby, of the Lakers going? Let's play that.
The fourth pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay, at that point, it was emotional for Laker fans, but they were coming out of a commercial break. Remember when they got to the Final Four, after five, they went to commercial. And the Lakers and the Knicks were on the board. They were two of the four teams left, so they were going nuts in the number one and two media market. Can you imagine if the Lakers got rewarded with all of the nonsense that they went through this year, tampering with Anthony Davis, if they got rewarded with the top pick? Starting to think that. And after they went to commercial, I thought the Knicks were pretty safe, that the Knicks were going to win. I was never more confident than that happening. So after the Lakers at number four, everybody on the edge of their seat, assuming it was probably going to be the Grizzlies or New Orleans next.
The third pick goes to the New York Knicks.
Sounded like a car accident. Sounded like you're watching an event on TV and it was an accident or someone blew out their knee. Did you hear the crowd? That's pretty much of a media crowd and VIPs. VIPs in the media going, oh, my God. So everybody thought that the Knicks at that time were done. They were screwed. And then my reaction. This is me live in studio. I mean, everybody's playing Stephen A. Smith and all these other guys going live. Why not me? I got my name on the show. Lee, let's hold on tight here. Yep. Here we go. We are at the fourth pick overall. Mark Tatum is at the board. The Lakers. The Lakers get the fourth pick in the NBA draft lottery. It's down to my Knicks, the Pelicans, and the Grizzlies at number three. I'm screwed. The Knicks are at number three. Oh. I got screwed on the radio. I got screwed. I don't believe it. I'm losing my mind. Number two, the Grizzlies and the Pelicans that held serve against Irvin Magic Johnson and LeBron.
And now AD might want to stay, JT.
Now they have Anthony Davis and they have Zion Williamson. I don't believe what I'm seeing. I got screwed. This is the worst case scenario. I did not get Zion. I did not get Ja Morant. Lee Sterling. Did this actually just happen?
So that did happen. Lee Sterling, our prognosticator, was on with us, our handicapper. And that's how it played out. And I went home and I walked in and my father-in-law, mother-in-law, wife, my sons were just looking at me, just, how you feeling, Dad? It's a bad day because you didn't get Zion Williamson. So everybody now knows that that's how the lottery went down. And then today, it became zombie television, where people just turned on their television and heard all these zombie debate shows talk about, well, maybe Anthony Davis will stay in New Orleans. What? He burnt the bridge in New Orleans. It's gone. It's a small, 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 tiny market. It has a place called Bourbon Street where people drink, sometimes get sick in the streets, and people go to nice restaurants. They don't have enough room to have people go to the NBA and to go to the NFL. It's a huge NFL town. And a lot of that has to do with tourism and the fact that they draw. Remember, this is an important point. The Saints draw from the state of Louisiana on Sundays. People drive 2-3 hours to come to a Saints game. They don't drive 2 hours to go to a Pelicans game. Okay, people, if you know New Orleans like I do, you have the different parishes around. And people come in for football because it's part of their DNA. They don't for basketball. So I want to tie it into Vegas. I'm going to stand by my statement. The Pelicans are going to move to Vegas. They're going to come here because Anthony Davis didn't want to play there. I don't think Zion Williamson wants to play there. I don't think in New Orleans they care much about basketball. Not that we do here either. Let's call it fair here. We don't know yet if we can handle the Raiders, the Golden Knights, UNLV, the Aviators, and an NBA team with 82 games in the playoffs. We don't know. I mean, for everybody who knows people who got money out in Summerlin and out in Henderson, and do they all have enough money to have season tickets for all three NBA, football, and hockey? I don't know many people who do. Do you? Do you know a lot of people in your neighborhood? I'm not talking about the people at the top of the hill in the gated community, but the other people that you see at the grocery store and you see all around town, you think they have enough money to have season tickets for three franchises? So I think that because of the power of the casinos and MGM and the power of these global companies, I think we're going to get the NBA. And we're not going to be able to get an expansion team. We're going to have to steal a team from somewhere else. Oklahoma City did it by taking the Seattle Sonics away, and it's worked out. Oklahoma City, my son's going to college at Oklahoma. I was just there. It's a nice city. Small, but nice enough for the NBA, and they draw from a region of about an hour and two away. Our NBA team, which would be the Pelicans, would be drawing at T-Mobile. And we'd all go there, and tourists would come from all over. And we'd have the same issue we have with the Golden Knights, where fans, you know, 8,000 fans from the other team might show up. When the Lakers come to play, you know, it might be 10,000 Laker fans. Who cares? I don't care about that anymore. What happens? They're paying for all this here in Vegas. So I'm all over the place on this topic yesterday because the Knicks got the top three. The Lakers get a four pick. Both the Knicks and the Lakers will want to trade their 3 and 4 pick in a package for Anthony Davis. New Orleans already feels like they got bullied by the Lakers. They got bullied by them last year, and they didn't bite. And I got a new GM here that can play nice with the Lakers, maybe get a deal done. And then the Knicks still have the ability to get Durant and Kyrie, or Durant or Kyrie, and then they could trade for Anthony Davis because they could trade the third pick, which would be Zion's teammate at Duke. R.J. Barrett and Zion going to New Orleans could be a really nice fit to start that franchise again. But in the big picture, I don't think New Orleans is going to make it as a basketball city. And you had people saying today, I mean, how ridiculous do you have to be to say that Zion won't show up and play? I mean, people were saying that today, a couple people. Zion's a good kid. He's a really good kid. He played under Coach K. He's going to show up for work. He's going to go to New Orleans. But maybe something can change. There's a slight chance that he could hold out and demand a trade and do that the way John Elway, Eli Manning were able to do it. It's happened before. Maybe Zion can turn into the bad guy who says, I'm not going to play in New Orleans. I don't think he needs to do it. But he's not going to win there. They're not going to win in New Orleans going up against some of these other big markets. Now, you might say Milwaukee can win with Giannis Antetokounmpo. You're right. Giannis is an interesting story. He likes it in Milwaukee. He's from Greece. He's cool. He doesn't want to be in New York or L.A. I get it. I tend to think that Zion's going to want a bit of a bigger market. And what does it say about the big topic, tanking? I think we can tie this into everything we do in life. Have you ever been in a position at your job where you failed on purpose? I've never done that. I've always been an employee, or when I've been on my own with my own business, I've always given 110% every day. I don't deserve a trophy for it. I don't deserve a compliment. I just don't know what it's like to mail it in. But in the NBA, we have 7-8 teams every year that lose games or try not to win on purpose so they can get a ping pong ball. Well, how'd that work out for the Knicks? The Knicks didn't tank this past year at all. I watched all the games. The Knicks just sucked. They were just terrible, and they couldn't win. And then they moved Porzingis, and he had an injury, had a lot to do with it. The Sixers of Philadelphia tanked for the last couple of years on purpose. They tried to lose on purpose by the way they didn't put their best players out on the court. And the Lakers last year had a really bad year, and they were rewarded with the 4 pick overall after LeBron James got injured. I thought that was very bizarre. So that's the way it played out yesterday. I wanted to tie it into Vegas, like we do with all of our topics here locally. And I think it should get your attention. I think it should get your attention because if the Pelicans end up moving to Vegas, this has something to do with the movement of that franchise. This actual move has something to do with it, and I'll tell you why. Because if Zion doesn't work in New Orleans and Anthony Davis didn't work in New Orleans, they're going to have to move to Vegas. They're going to have to get out of New Orleans because it's not going to work there. And it happens all the time. Businesses move from one state to the next for tax purposes, tourism, reasons that don't work, reasons that work better in another city. So I like New Orleans. I like New Orleans. But I live in Vegas, and I don't think it's going to work with Zion because it didn't work with Anthony Davis. If I'm wrong, you know where to find me. We'll get into it a little bit later on, what the Warriors did last night. Oh, that series is garbage. Oh. I mean, it's non-competitive. Portland, the only thing Portland has is their backcourt. Their backcourt of McCollum and Damian Lillard, and they're nowhere near as good as the backcourt of Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. The one good thing Portland has going for them gets neutralized like a Marvel comic movie up against the Warriors. And Kevin Durant's not even playing. And Boogie Cousins is not even playing. But the series tonight, the game tonight between the Raptors and the Bucks, that's starting at 5:30 Pacific time on TNT, I can't wait to watch Kawhi Leonard go up against Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, that's a heavyweight fight. That's Ali Frazier. Okay, that's what we want to see. So we're going to get the stars playing in that game. But Kawhi's going to end up going somewhere else also. So if you have anything going on with free agency, anything from the reaction to what you saw yesterday, anything that I'm missing, I don't need a co-host. I don't need four people. Just need a caller or two that disagrees or agrees with me. That's why we don't have a co-host here. We want to hear from you. 876-1340. If you believe that draft lottery last night was either fixed, it affects the way we think of tanking going forward, because it didn't reward the tanking teams, that's for sure. And on top of that, do you believe that New Orleans would be a good fit to move to Vegas? Because I knew that the Raiders would be a good fit. I never wanted the Raiders to leave Oakland. Save that in a promo in 3, 2, and 1. Never wanted them to leave Oakland. No need to. The politics was so bad in Oakland, and the A's situation and their lease and button heads up there with the politicians forever, the Raiders ended up finding a much better deal economically in Las Vegas. Can't the same thing be said about the Pelicans? I mean, don't we all know that now? But we're going to avoid it until we watch Zion fail after Anthony Davis failed. We got to watch another 7 years of failure before the team comes here. So we'll talk about that throughout the course of the show. Got a couple of golf guests coming up next, including my good friend Brady Cannon at the bottom of the hour. If you're betting on the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black, you do not want to miss it. And a lot of gamblers should be betting on golf because there's some great value here, and we got an expert who knows the sport inside and out. The Henderson Hyundai Superstore, Boulder Hawaiian Henderson, the super deals you're looking for. Go see Frank and the crew, best financing team in all of Las Vegas.
As far as JD taking a cart, well, I walked with a broken leg, so.
I love that. I love that soundbite by Tiger Woods. PGA Championship on my home course where I grew up, Bethpage Black. We're talking about it today. Mike McNamara, kind enough to join us, the general manager of the Legacy. And Mike, I'm happy we can do this. Appreciate you coming on. Love the golf course. How are you?
Good, JT. How are you?
Couldn't be better. Before we get to the Legacy Golf Club and everything that you do, your vibe on the PGA Championship, knowing that Tiger didn't even play a practice round, he hasn't played since the Masters, where he won the Masters at Augusta National. With this long golf course, do you think he's coming in at the right time, peaking at the right time?
You know, absolutely. He won there in 2002. Certainly, if it's a very difficult golf course, it comes down to the guy that's going to hit it the furthest, but also stay in the fairway. As you know, the golf course is very punishing. You miss the fairway, and, you know, you put up some big scores. You know, these guys that are playing there, they're the best in the world, and there's certainly some sleepers out there other than just Tiger. And, you know, I think it's going to be definitely a fight to the finish, but I don't think we're going to see scores, you know, in the 10-unders like Nick Watney won a few years ago in a FedEx playoff. I think it's going to be close to even par, so I'm excited for this weekend.
Yeah, you know, when you look at this and we take a look at the golf course, Mike, it's amazing because it feels like it's a U.S. Open, and we can tie it into local golf courses here in town, your course. When you're trying to prepare it for a tournament, you do certain things like let the rough grow out or cut it down a bit. This is a beast of a golf course where it seems like the only guys that people are picking to win are the long hitters who can drive it really long and keep it in the fairway. Easier said than done, huh?
No, there's no question about it. You know, it brings into a lot of play who's going to have the best short game. You look at guys like Zach Johnson who always play really well at majors, who certainly have an opportunity to go out there and hit it, you know, 280 off the tee and keep it in play and, you know, have, you know, just marvelous short games that can certainly make long putts. And you look at a guy like Jason Day, who's played really well there and has a highlight reel in himself for making 50, 60 footers there. So, you know, it's really anybody's game.
Mike McNera is our guest, the GM at the Legacy. And, Mike, I also find it interesting here, putting. I'm picking Ricky Fowler to win because I think he's one of the best putters on tour, and it doesn't seem like this major has the ramifications on the green. They're smaller greens, but Ricky should be able to figure out, I think, these Bethpage black greens a little bit better. The problem is, can he get his long irons to the greens there? Because there's not going to be a lot of roll off those drives because of all the rain we've seen there the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's no question about that. You know, you think back to Phil Mickelson back in 2009. That's when he was playing two drivers at Bethpage Black. So there's certainly, you know, these guys are doing something different each time. You know, I was just reading a story about Fowler. He actually carries two four irons in his bag, which was something that I honestly never noticed or even paid much attention to. But it's stuff like that that certainly these guys are honing in to certainly be aggressive, you know, with certain yardages in their hands and be aggressive where they can be.
Mike, tell us about the Legacy Golf Club. I've been up there for events. I've been up there with friends before. I love the layout. I love the location. How long have you been there, and what's the really big hook to this golf course, especially this time of year?
So this is my second time around at the Legacy. I was here in 2016, and then I came back recently at the end of February. You know, it's just a great golf course built in the, you know, in the late 80s. Certainly there's no force carries like some other desert facilities here around town. So most certainly we have tee boxes for every skill level where people could really just come out and enjoy their time. We're very junior friendly. It's, for me, it's really important coming from the Tiger era. I was six years younger than Tiger, and certainly junior golf was very important in my life when I was a kid. So certainly we're very junior friendly. You know, we want kids to come out and be able to, you know, really use our practice facility and really learn the game of golf here at the Legacy. And certainly, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we want this to be somebody else's home. We want them to feel like this is their other home, and certainly come and, you know, our staff is friendly and fun, and certainly have every opportunity to come and try a great golf course. And if you haven't been here, certainly come out and try it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's in unbelievable shape. Can you also tell us, let's stay on that, because Tiger talked about it at his press conference, pace of play. Your philosophy on that also, because especially the youngsters coming in that don't want to play five and a half hour long rounds, it's tough to keep their focus, the millennials, the younger players out there. For Tiger to say that and to understand it, it seems like you're one of those guys too, as a GM, who believes in picking up the pace of play.
Yeah, there's no question about it. It's something that's plagued our game for many years. It really comes down to, you know, obviously golfers, they don't want a 4.5, 5 hour pace of play. But then, you know, on the flip side of it, as an operator, certainly the only way to, you know, increase pace of play is sometimes we have to raise golf rates. You know, that's kind of the double-edged sword on our side of the business, is in order to certainly generate the same type of revenue that we've generated in the past and keep pace of play in a reasonable time for people, we sometimes have to raise the rates a little bit in order to do both. And so that's kind of the double-edged sword for our golf business. And, you know, that's just an operational thing. But, you know, realistically, you know, depending on, you know, size of group, and certainly people of all skill levels, you know, four and a half hours is, you know, honestly a realistic pace. The tour is somewhere in the 5 hour to even 6 hour pace. You know, it's just, it's very tough to control. You have to monitor it and have to stay on top of it. Otherwise, it gets away from you.
Mike, tell everybody how they can come out to the Legacy, how they can get in touch with you and enjoy that unbelievable golf experience.
Absolutely. So you can visit us at the www.thelegacygclikegolfcourse.com. You can check out our website, book tee times from there. You can reach us at 702-476-0090. You know, our rates are going to start to drop here in June when we come into the warmer season. So come out, enjoy the golf course, enjoy some frosty adult beverages,
yes,
and enjoy your time with your family.
Mike, come in studio next time, and we'll do this a little bit longer, and we'll recap these majors coming up, okay?
All right, I'd love to.
Thank you, Mike.
JT, for your time today.
Anytime. Mike McNera from the Legacy, the GM over there. We appreciate him checking in. Now, who I believe is the best golf handicapper in town, at Las Vegas Golfer, Brady Cannon, has a show coming up at the top of the hour at VSiN. He appears on this show all the time, especially heading into the majors. And Brady, good to talk to you again. I'm going to jump right in. You know I love me some Bethpage Black, and this is going to be unbelievable. It seems like the rain has finally slowed down, maybe a little bit tomorrow, but it should be clear skies coming into this.
Yeah, I believe the rest of the tournament is going to be good weather. It'll be a little bit chilly and a little bit cloudy. And a little bit of wind, probably in the neighborhood of the 10-mile-an-hour, maybe getting up to a 13 or 15-mile-an-hour gust here and there. But I think it's going to be an awful good tournament condition-wise. The course will be wet because of the rain they had back in your hometown this spring and then the last couple of days. All week long, JT, is that's really going to play into the hands of the longer hitters because the ball is not going to roll out as much. The rough will be wet and thick, not U.S. Open type thick, but it's still going to be wet and hard to get a clean strike on your golf ball in that stuff. So I think we are going to get good weather, but the weather that has been happening leading up to the event is certainly going to have an effect.
Brady Cannon is our guest. It's interesting, Brady. I think because they changed the PGA and moved it up, so now we're getting it in May. It's coming off Augusta National where length helps a lot, but you got to have a great short game. You got to be able to get it up and down, and you have to putt, and it's some of the most amazing features in the history of golf there. Then we come to Bethpage, and you have this long, monstrous course with all these fairway bunkers, difficulty, elevated greens, and all of that. Am I saying making too much out of this because it's coming out of Augusta where we don't have to be that long, and this one, you have to be super long?
Yeah, no, I think the contrast is great.
Okay.
And it's similar to going from Augusta to a U.S. Open. You
right.
know, Bethpage Black, I think at its core, is a U.S. Open golf course, but the PGA is going to put their spin on it, which I really enjoy. It's typically not as brutal as a U.S. Open, but it is a brutally difficult golf course. So I think it's going to be extremely entertaining. The PGA Championship the last decade or so has been one of the best majors for entertainment because it's difficult like a U.S. Open, but they do allow you to score. They don't throw the rough nearly as high. And yeah, you're going to have to be exceptionally long on this golf course, not only because of its length at almost 7,500 yards, but let's remember also Augusta National is a par 72. This is only a par 70. So, and then you've got the soft fairways and the weather that we've had. So it is definitely going to take some length. And one thing that it has versus Augusta is you're going to need a lot more driving accuracy.
Yeah.
At Augusta, you can spray the ball around a little bit, and that's why we've seen Phil Mickelson have such great success at Augusta. You're going to have to be really tight with your driver and make sure you hit some fairways this week at Bethpage Black.
Brady Cannon at Las Vegas Golfer at VSiN at the top of the hour. You know, I've been at Bethpage Black a number of times where Phil was in contention and the whole crowd was pulling for Phil. I don't get that sense with the odds coming in here. Talk about the number for Phil Mickelson, and he's a guy that could hit it long, but he sprays it a lot here, and I just think he's going to have trouble. I'm going with Ricky Fowler to win the PGA Championship because I love his distance and his ability to putt, especially against this field.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Ricky's a good pick, and just merely the odds will show you the difference between Fowler's chances and Mickelson. Mickelson is in the neighborhood of 50 to 60 to 1, and Ricky's about 16 to 1. Ricky has finished top 10, I believe, 10 times in major championships, so he's definitely one of those guys that is due. He's played well at this course before. In 2016, he had the 54-hole lead at the Barclays as a part of the FedEx Cup playoff series, eventually losing to Patrick Reed. So Ricky, like just about every other major we've seen him compete in, he has knocked on the door at Bethpage Black. One thing about his putting, though, and back to Mickelson real quick, I think one thing that could hurt him is his driving accuracy.
Yeah.
He ranks, I think, 208th on tour. He's almost dead last on tour in driving accuracy. But Ricky, you mentioned the putting, and certainly he's one of the best putters in the world. But I really think this course is going to come down to ball striking, and I think the putting will be neutralized a little bit. These greens are small and they're difficult to hit, but once you find them, they're pretty flat. They're not going to be lightning quick. They shouldn't be too difficult to putt. And Fowler is a fantastic putter, but Poana greens, this is a Poana surface turf species, the greens that they have at Bethpage Black, and Fowler has never been the best putter on Poana in his career. He's a specialist on Bermuda. That could be something, a little chink in the armor for the handicap on Ricky.
Brady Cannon, as we wrap it up, I love your analysis on Jason Day. Tell our audience about Jason Day coming in, because he hasn't been completely fit, had some issues there, but when he gets in a rhythm, what he could do for two or three rounds in a row is brilliant. Do you think he has what it takes to win the PGA Championship?
I do. I think this is the best major for him. You know, he won the PGA, I believe it was 2015 at Whistling Straits. He hits an extremely high ball. And these Poana greens, they're bouncy. When you take your approach shot into these greens, the ball will tend to bounce as they're more of a spongy surface. And with that high ball flight of Jason Day's coming in, I think he should get a softer landing and maybe, come closer to the hole than a lot of his competitors. Driving accuracy, I think, will be the one thing that could be the nemesis for Jason Day, but he's had success at this golf course before. And one thing I like to handicap is a guy that fits good, fits well with the course designer. And Jason Day has had tremendous success with A.W. Tillinghast courses. He finished second at Baltusrol in 2016 when Jimmy Walker won the PGA, another Tillinghast design, as is Bethpage Black. He finished fourth here in 2016 at the Barclays and second in 2012 at the Barclays. So he's had tremendous success with Tillinghast designs. And it was back at that Barclays where he only hit 33% of the fairways and still finished top five. So if he's able to hit a few more fairways this week, I think he's going to have a great week. He's an even better putter than Ricky Fowler. And he also has tremendous success on Poana, which we see at Torrey Pines and Pebble Beach. And Jason Day has had a win at Torrey Pines and a lot of top tens at Pebble Beach. So I think a lot of boxes are checked for Jason Day. And then you go back to, the question of his health. He's had to pull out of a lot of tournaments because of injury, but it was just a month ago we saw him finish fifth at Augusta. So I think he's coming in pretty well.
I'll see you this weekend. We'll listen on VSiN. Really appreciate your analysis. We'll send everybody to at Las Vegas Golfer. Talk to you soon. Thank you, Brady.
Hey, go Ricky and Jay Day. That'd be a fun one.
That would be good. There he is, Brady Cannon, who, after winning the Super Contest in football with his team, Sans Souci, which really put him on the map, now he's become a handicapper. He's over at VSiN, one of my best friends. He's fantastic on the radio, and he knows golf. He has a golf business in town. He can get you a tee time. I'm playing golf Friday with a bunch of my friends. I call Brady. He checks the rates, calls me right back 5 minutes, and puts me on a golf course. At Las Vegas Golfer, he's fantastic for all your golf needs, and he's a really good golf handicapper. Now being covered by the New York Post with his weekly column on top of his VSiN golf show. When we come back, he's in the building, Dr. Mike Crivetti. I can again. I know that you understand this. If you're a weekend warrior, or you have a son or a daughter that had a knee issue, a shoulder, an athlete that's having a problem, and you just want to get back to the way you used to play, the way you used to compete, the way you used to just be able to get out there with your friends and play sports, Dr. Mike Crivetti is the man for you and his team. They'll join us next, as they do every week. Welcome back, JT the Brick on the Las Vegas Sports Network. Dr. Mike Crivetti's in studio. Dr. Kayla Pinneger, kind enough to join us here every few weeks. ICanAgain.com is where you can find out everything that they're doing. Gentlemen, good to see you again. And Dr. Pinneger, I want to jump right in. You had an amazing story on a shoulder replacement that happened the other day. Tell our audience about it.
Shoulder replacement's a fantastic operation. You take a person who, they got range of motion, they can hardly reach a cup out of the cupboard, they can definitely not reach the overhead, and you take this arthritis and as you remove it, put in a shoulder replacement, you can restore their function overnight. It's typically a night in the hospital, but a favorite story of mine, I was able to see a man back who had a shoulder replacement, and he begged me to be able to leave the hospital as quick as possible. I asked him, let's keep you overnight. Let's check you out, make sure things are going well, because of course I want to try to monitor that. And he begged and begged. Home he went, straight from the recovery room, and I see him back, and he's swimming a mile and a half a day, His shoulder's fantastic. He loves it, and he couldn't be happier to see the ability of a person to get back to their love and their passion in life. That's the whole reason why we do this.
Dr. Gavetti, the innovations, especially, you're always traveling around the country. You're talking about the best technology, the best equipment. Your recovery center is second to none. Take me back to your first shoulder replacement, your first surgery, and now the advances that you have today at the facility.
Well, listening to Dr. Pinneger do shoulder replacements is a little different than the days when I used to
do them. Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day, right? You know, our shoulder replacement stayed a couple of days, and with some of the new techniques these guys are doing, I learned something from them every day.
I think they used to use wood screws. I think it was planks of wood.
Civil War? You got a Civil War joke you're going there?
Back in the Elmer's glue days?
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's fantastic.
The screws seemed to work, didn't they, Caleb? But seriously, with the new technology, even, you know, we talked about hip replacement lasting 20 plus years, knee replacement 20 plus years. Now shoulder replacements, why would you ever have to redo one with the new materials that we have? So these are great opportunities for people that are younger. So this guy who swims a mile and a half, what a fantastic opportunity to get back in the water and train. What if he wants to be a triathlete? What if he wants to get into a bike and swim? Right now, that's a new thing in life he has an opportunity to do.
One of my best friends, Raider Mort, he's a 62-year-old gentleman, hasn't missed the Raider home game in 40 years, but he can't lift his shoulder up because he was an elite pitcher, an elite basketball player, but he's waiting again for the right opportunity, insurance, what he wants to do. He wants to go to London this year and see the Raiders play. When you sit down with a gentleman like that, a weekend warrior, I played at San Jose State, what are those initial conversations about when you bring him in and sit him down and talk about pain to getting a surgery or just listening to your expertise?
First and foremost, if you're putting off your life because you want to wait till you're old enough to get something
done, he's
that
guy. Yeah.
You're wasting your time. While we don't want to do surgery unnecessarily, if your life is being postponed because you can't participate in your own life, then you're barking up the wrong tree. You've got to get something done. So this procedure, I mean, you got to get this guy to my office. I got to check him out.
He will be there. There's more Raider fans coming. I promise you that. Dr. Mike, let me ask you about these shoulder injuries for kids. Give me a couple of examples from teenagers up to guys and gals in their early 20s. How are they hurting their shoulders? What's a typical sports injury that coincides with that?
The most common thing we see are these pitchers in Little League, Babe Ruth, as they move into high school. Secondly, are the tennis teams. You're right, we see a lot of tennis athletes. My daughter happened to be a tennis player, so I had some experience with a lot of tennis injuries and shoulders and elbows. And that's where we see most of them. Most of them are overuse injuries, right? Mm-hmm. We coach all year round here in Las Vegas, which is unique to where I grew up back in Jersey, where we play three different sports and three different coaches, right? So here we coach all year round. We coach the same sport over and over again. So giving these kids a break, and Dr. Pinneger probably tell you a little bit more coming out of the James Andrews Fellowship, where this is who they dealt with, these young pitchers, young shoulders, and young elbows.
I'm hearing more people, especially, let's go to major league players, who want to have Tommy John sooner than later. That's something that we haven't talked about in a while. Thinking about the progress that's made in your expertise, where professional baseball players, college, amateur athletes who are already drafted are saying, I want to have my Tommy John now. What is that like? How have we changed our philosophy with that surgery?
It's the prophylactic, the preventative Tommy John, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely, I mean, your Tommy John surgery is not going to make you a better pitcher. You want to take care of your arm. What God gave you is better than what I can give you. That's for sure. But to be able to come back from an injury, that's what that's intended for. So to have it done earlier than later, if it's, again, the same concept with this shoulder, if you can't pitch, if you can't throw because your elbow is stopping you, there's a problem. We need to address the problem. If you want to just get it done because you're worried someday in the future it needs to happen, that's the wrong attitude. But we walk you through that. You come in, we take a look, and if you can't pitch because you are no longer able to, because every time you throw a ball it hurts, your velocity's down, your accuracy's down, that's where there is wonderful surgical options to see what we got to do.
iCanAgain.com. Dr. Gavetti, when a mom and dad are sitting down with a young baseball player and they're thinking about this decision, it's probably not a life-altering decision. Once you talk to them and communicate with them, they're nervous coming in. It's a 17-year-old pitch who's throwing 83 miles an hour, thinking about a future playing. What are those conversations like?
Well, I am a parent, right? So yeah. A parent of young athletes, and they're all grown and out of the house now. But, you know, we all want the best for our kids.
Sure.
And we all want them to go play big sports. And we've got some tremendous athletes in all of major sports
in
this city, right?
Absolutely.
So everybody wants to be a Bryce. And God bless them. And we'll help them get there. But I think those conversations are also, there's no parent that wants to hurt their child. You know, so when we start talking about educating about what can go wrong and the long-term problems with their elbows, knees. I had a young guy in today with a cartilage tear, a meniscus tear in his knee, and you know, he sat down with his mom and dad, and this kid's a great athlete. He's a boxer, and all I can think about, or they can think about, is fixing him, not worry about, you know, fixing him, not his career. So, and that's what parenting is all about, right? Protecting our kids. So, great conversations. They're easy in this town. People are wonderful.
Let's stay on boxing for a second. The first time in all these months you mentioned that. Knees with boxing, shoulders, I would think, elbows. What's something common for a young boxer? Because you don't hear stories about young boxers coming up, because that's one of the sports that parents are kind of nervous about because of other issues with CTE and injury. I like hearing stories about young kids competing that way.
Yeah, boxers are hard to hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're awesome. Yeah. I mean, they're solid, right? It's a big strategy game. You think it's just swinging. It's a strategy game. Some of the best boxers have the best strategy. And what goes along with that strategy is minimizing injury. That's what creates that longevity. How many fights is Floyd up to now, right?
Yeah, well, we see it right there when I pull out of Southern Highlands and I see 50-0.
Right?
Yeah, that's exactly.
So, I mean, he's got longevity, but he's rarely injured because of the amazing shape that he's in. Where we see some more injuries in the MMA guys.
You know,
we take care of a lot of the MMA guys and a lot of their strikes, a lot of their plant and kicks and some of the rotation that they do. We see ACL injuries. We do see meniscus injuries. But believe it or not, we don't see a lot of shoulder stuff in the MMA guys because, again, they're trained boxers as well. Very, very strategic.
Yeah, we see some injuries with MMA boxers going to the ground, fighters going to the ground. Next thing you know, the knee gives out. But Dr. Pinneger, I want to get back to you for a second. When I think of these youngsters and the people coming through their 20s into their 30s. A lot of people play a ton of tennis and ski. And I can imagine, I hear all these stories about skiers and people that want to get back on the mountain again because they have this adrenaline lift when they get back there. What's a typical story for a skier or a snowboarder who comes in and wants to get back on the mountain, but you say, hey, let's talk about this quickly. Let's talk about ulterior plans. You're going to bring in Dr. Thomas Cucero with pain management. Give me a couple of stories with that sport.
With that sport, the people that hurt themselves the most are when you try to pick that up when you're 40.
Absolutely.
But if you know how to do it, and if you have been a skier or snowboarder in the past and you get back, you have to train your muscles. If you try to go back to any sport and you've been out of that sport for too many years, you can't hit that launch ramp that you used to hit. You can't take the moguls that you used to hit until you've conditioned yourself. If you go right to it, you're unprepared physically. It's like when I try to go out rock climbing with Dr. Kucher and I pop my finger 2 seconds into it. My tendon isn't what it used to be because I haven't educated it and trained it like I need to because I'm not 22 anymore.
Wait a second. Nobody told me that, Dr. Pinneger. You're injured? Nobody told me
that.
That
didn't come up. It didn't
happen on the job.
It's working fine.
Doc Crivetti, when we talk about people listening to these radio interviews, I see all your videos on the website, your TV appearances. What's the most important connection you want to say for people to come in? Should they come in by calling, going to the website? You got a lot of friends in town. And a lot of the videos I look at, everybody says after the surgery or procedure that he's a friend. And you keep these relationships going forward. So for those listening today, how can they get in touch with you and come in and see you if they just want to talk it out?
Our best referral source of anybody, for no matter what type of physician you are the people that you already take care of. Right? The people that are sitting in front of you become the people that will come see you. And they're friends, they're coworkers, and more importantly, their family. So one of the best ways to learn all about us, and you know, we worked hard on that website, not because everybody in the world had to have a website, and you go on there and you see the 75 or 80 videos we have, we worked hard on that so you could meet us, so you could see what kind of people we are, what kind of care we provide, and look look at the people that we take care of and hear what they say about us.
I saw
nothing better than an endorsement from another person.
Absolutely. The one of the videos that jumped out to me today, Amber, an airport agent, she ended up getting one of her knees done, then had to come back and get it done again. And she was so happy going through the process, she could get her life back together again, especially with her daughter. That was the important thing that jumped out at me on the video. It seemed like her life was put on hold, even though she was doing everything she needed to do. Now she has her life back again.
And she's very young.
Yeah, you know,
very
absolutely.
Young, very young lady. So as something as simple or appears as simple as being an agent at the airline. Well, which agent have you ever seen that's not standing there 8 hours a day?
It's a
and
tough
not,
job.
Not yeah. grabbing those bags and throwing them on the belt, right? And twisting and carrying. You know, I feel bad every time I come up with a bag that's anything close to heavy as I watch them grab it and
sure.
twist and turn it. Well, imagine that with two knees that you can't stand on. So now your job's in jeopardy. Family's in jeopardy, all the things that you enjoy doing are. So you can really, really change somebody in the way their life is, which is awesome.
Great to see you guys again. The studio is yours. Come in again. iCanAgain.com. Thank you, doctors.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
JT.
Appreciate it, gentlemen. iCanAgain.com. Go to the website. I think the gentlemen, the doctors, everybody there will take care of you. Great, great service and an unbelievable facility after the surgery. Crivetti Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. We appreciate the doctors coming in studio today. All right, we're going to reset at the top of the hour. Steph McKenzie's going to come by. We're excited to talk to her like we do every couple of Wednesdays. Bobby, we're getting in a nice rhythm here with the guests that we have, and we kind of bring them in every couple of weeks here, from our newsmen and women to all the insiders. We're in a big run right now with what we're doing with Coaches Versus Cancer, and especially with the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame, as we're having all of the inductees who are getting into that class, one joining us every week. Warriors won. We'll reset that. That game to me, that series to me, looked very non-competitive. Be very surprised if Portland wins a game. Now, I'm sure they will. They'll win a game up in Portland. But they didn't look like they were ready to compete in that last game. Fair enough. They played a four-overtime game. They were spent. They had to go game seven on the road in Denver to win. So I'm not going to sit here and kick Portland because they lost a game against the Warriors, just like I wasn't crazy and hard on Houston and James Harden for losing. You lose to the Warriors when you play the Warriors. They're just better. This game tonight will be interesting. The line's moving. We'll tell you about the moving line coming up. We'll talk about Toronto and Milwaukee. Milwaukee wasn't ready for game one against Boston. Boston owned them to start that last series, and then they made the adjustments and dominated the Celtics and knocked them out. Reports that Kyrie Irving now, the Celtics want to sit down with him quickly and get an idea of what he wants to do. I think that Kyrie is going to play this like a diva. He's going to wait for Durant. Everybody now has to wait for Durant to win the title before free agency begins, because everybody else wants to see where Durant's going. If Durant's staying with the Warriors, then some free agents will want to go to the Eastern Conference, because it'll be easier to win the East going through the Bucks than it would the Warriors, most likely. And some of these other players possibly going from the East to the West. Kawhi Leonard going from Toronto to the Clippers or the Lakers. And what do the Knicks do now at number three? They get a pretty good player at number three overall, but do they have to package that pick to go get Anthony Davis? JT, 1 hour up, one more to go. Stick around. Steph McKenzie, one of my favorites, joins us next in studio.